it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Morning.
Are you all right? I hope you are. I genuinely hope you are. Me? Yeah. Fine. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it. Okay, it is now Thursday, isn't it? It's just ticked past 8 in the AM, British summertime on Thursday the 2nd of July, in the year of our Lord, 2026. July already. Huh. Seems like just the other day, doesn't it? We were starting the show at the beginning of the year, the beginning of January, just the other day. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, the very best among us. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
The disembodied voice of Little Harry there, who, if you're new, isn't little. He's a normal-sized guy. He's a bit taller than me. We've just got a much bigger Harry in the office, haven't we? Harry Robinson. Big Harry, little Harry. Little Harry's not little. He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. He's comfortable in and of himself. He's comfortable in his own skin. He doesn't mind. Okay. Should we just get into it? Why are we faffing about? There's no need for all that sort of fannying about, is there? Let's just get straight into it. Okay, so it's a football day. I will keep it to a minimum. I know. I've heard what the glorious band, the chosen few, think about sports ball. You largely don't care. Although, it was like when we'd done a poll or two about it, there was about a quarter of you still, wasn't there, that cared. It's on every single front page other than the Financial Times. But I'll keep it to a complete minimum. All right, Kane to the rescue. That's Harry Kane. That's this football player here. Used to play for Tottenham, now plays for Bayern Munich, I think, didn't he? Okay. Kane to the rescue. It was the great escape. And defence black hole triples, the spending in the defence budget. It was like £4.75 billion short. Now they're realising it's actually £15 billion short or something like that in that ballpark. And that was the whole increase. So in other words, there was no money for this increase. It was all a fiction up to this point. No Sterling Burner will have to find all the money. All the money. All right, so let's get into it. The Metro. Ooh. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you're talking to? Look at you. Stay here. The Metro. Gross subversion. Absolutely ridiculous. All right, we'll talk about it once here and then won't talk about it hardly again. So the football. England beat Congo 2-1. All right, there you go. They went 1-0 down after about 7 minutes. Most of the game, England were 1-0 down. And then in the last 15 minutes, Harry Kane scored 2 goals. Half-decent header, and the winning goal was actually quite good. Blasted it in. From like 18 yards or whatever. All right, that's it. That's all I'm saying. That's it. Oh, and next thing, we'll probably play, or I think we just do play Mexico in the next round, in the final 16, in Mexico City. And like they haven't lost a game since like 2013. In that stadium, something like that. Mexico and no slouches. You don't get to the last 16 of the World Cup by accident. So that will probably be quite a tough game. Put England's chance at 50-50 of winning that one. All right. So, oh dear me, that was close. Oh dear me. Oh dear me. Oh Democratic Republic me, that was close. There's a few puns today, but we'll move on. I said I'll keep it to a minimum, I will. All right, the star, there's Harry Kane again, celebrating the win. Harry Houdini. There's a few bits of wordplay revolving around the name Harry. Cry Harry and St. George. They didn't do that one, I don't think, actually. But King, there's a King Harry later we get. You know, like Henry V, King Harry. Okay, the star go with Harry Houdini. Well, it was an escape act. He's an escape artist. We escaped losing and getting knocked out of the World Cup. Okay, we'll whip them. We'll get to other stories today because most of the front pages are the football, and I said I'll keep it to a minimum, so we'll talk about loads of other things today. There you go, look, the mirror. It was touch and go because the manager's like called Tuchel or Tuchel. It's touch and go for Harry, all right, and the England Lions. The Sun, again, Harry. I told you it was every single one, wasn't I? I'm whipping through them quick, though, aren't I? Hero Harry to the rescue, right? Kung Fu. The mail. Thank heavens for King Harry. There you go. Thank heavens for King Harry. All right. Here's a different story. At last. Panel that rejected major screening program for prostate cancer a week or two ago. Do you remember that? We talked about it. It was on the Bow Show. That panel that rejected major screening program had no specialists in the cancer, prostate cancer, and no black voices. Don't really care about the black voices bit. I didn't have any female transgender, neurodivergent, crippled black voices. But no specialists in the cancer. That is a bit. Might be nice to have had one, mightn't it? Fresh fury at prostate betrayal. The decision to reject a major screening program was made by a committee that did not contain a single prostate cancer expert, the Daily Mail can reveal. You would have thought they, you would have that, if not the whole committee made up of it. Nearly all of it. But no, not one. That's a state of sort of managerial, like that's the state of, like the managerial nature of the NHS, is you end up with this massive layer of managers. It's a classic thing in military history, because that sort of is really my forte, really, ancient history, and or military history, or ancient military history. the level of how many officers to men you've got, that's a classic thing that military historians look at and talk about. In other words, if you've got too many officers compared to how many men there are, that's bad, and that speaks of a terrible imbalance, a terrible problem, something fundamentally wrong with your army if you ever find yourself in that situation for various different reasons. The NHS seems to suffer from something like that. There's this whole class, giant class of managers in the NHS, if you like, some sort of equivalent maybe of officers, the people actually in the trenches, like the nurses, the people that clean the hospitals, and even doctors to an extent. There's this level of managers that aren't like actual medical professionals, and there seems to be far too many of them. Too many cooks spoil the broth. Or a great quote, like I said it on the podcast the other day, as Abraham Lincoln said, too many pigs for the tits. Can we say tits on the Bow Show? I might be talking about blue tits, the bird. All right. Moving on, it's probably a borderline. Probably shouldn't have said that. Try and keep it clean. Might be kiddywinks in the room. Apologies. All right. Ion Hersey Ali warns us that Islamists want to dominate and not integrate. Yeah, we know. Yeah, we know. We all know. Thanks. Thanks. The Daily Telegraph, the Toregraph. It's been bought out by Germans. Obviously, Harry Kane winning their game. Defence black hole triples to £15 billion. Number 10 admits it cannot explain where cuts will come from to boost cash for military. Great. Brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, you've had your whole time in government to be working that sort of thing out. It was literally on the docket from day one that something like that needed to be sort of worked out. And certainly the last few weeks or months, it should have been, or was really top of the agenda, was it not? But still, at this point, still, I don't know. Why were you quibbling over whether it was 13.5 billion or 15 billion? You didn't have any of the money anyway. What's going on at the Treasury? Oh, I know. There was a story the other day. We talked about it on the State of Politics. State of Politics, the channel I do with Mr. H Reviews. We did a video, recorded a video on it last night. It'll probably go out today. There's a story that the Treasury, His Majesty's Treasury, two, three years ago, decided to lower the bar in terms of numerical ability, the ability to do maths, so that they could increase their diversity quotas and verbal reasoning tests. They realised that their numerical reasoning tests and verbal reasoning tests were, the bar was so high, as it should be, You want the very, very, very best of the best in places like the Treasury, the Foreign Office, the Cabinet Office, the Bank of England, all these things, right? You want the very, very absolute creme de la creme. They realised that the bar was so high that they weren't really getting any diverse people. For some reason, for some ideological, anti-racist, weird fetish, out-group preference reason, they wanted loads more brown people. For some reason. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you need people whose grandparents come from a foreign land? Why would you need that? But they decided they did. They absolutely need, and that they're proud of it. That's their line to this day. They're proud of it. So they just lowered. They just lowered all the tests. And I think at one point, in fact, did away with the verbal reasoning test or something like that. Verbal reasoning test is really just a reasoning test. Can you understand reason properly? Do you understand cause and effect and stuff like it? The Treasury. Perhaps the linchpin of government, right? Maybe. I mean, the Cabinet Office more so, but one of the most vital parts of the government, of the country, the Treasury. They wanted more brown people. So they did that. Weird. So freakish. Well, and now they just can't figure out numbers, it seems. I'm exaggerating, aren't I? I'm exaggerating a bit, but it's just all nonsense, isn't it? Now, it was 13.5, now 15. Oh, but we haven't got 5 of that. Oh, we haven't got any of it. And it's gone. What are we doing here, people? What are we doing? We just need more diversity quotas. That will fix everything, won't it? You sure about that? You sure about that? All right. Burnham, deport grooming gang rapist. That's the thing we talked about yesterday, didn't we? We mentioned it yesterday. There was that guy, what was it, Shabir Ahmed, something like that. He was basically the leader of the Rochdale grooming gangs. And he was sentenced to 19 years and 22 years to run concurrently. So doesn't that mean he should have served something like 40-odd years, but he's only been in for 14 after being convicted of something in the order of 30 child rapes? Something in the order of 30 child rapes, and he served 14 years. Right. And he's being let out today. And his victims, quite right, at least one of his victims, Ruby, probably not her real name, saying, well, I don't feel safe. He's still part of that whole community, and like that, you'll have connections with the whole giant gang system, giant network system that is still here. Thanks for that, the state. Thanks for actually properly dealing with that. Not. So I'm worried. I'm scared. Yeah, quite rightly so. Apparently she's being helped by the Maggie Oliver Foundation. Brilliant person, Maggie Oliver. Brilliant. Give me 10 divisions of Maggie Olivers and our troubles here would be over very quickly. Right, and so apparently he just can't be deported. Home office. And what are you going to do? There's an Act of Parliament back from 1971. You can repeal it. You can pass a new bit of legislation if you want to. No. That says, if you came here before 1973, which he did, because he's old now, he's in his 70s, he's like 73 or something, 75 or something. If you came here before 1973 and you lived here for 5 consecutive years, you cannot be deported. Regardless of the monstrous crimes you did. And he was always a dual citizen, so he's from Pakistan. Right. Of course, he's from Pakistan. He came here, he then got, at some point in those intervening years, got dual citizenship. However, once he got convicted of these crimes, they did strip him of the British part of that dual citizenship. So as it stands at the moment, he's just a Pakistani national. But can't be deported back to Pakistan. Apart from anything else, Pakistan refused to take them. Nearly always, if not always, practically always, refuse to take their criminals back. Again, our government goes, oh, okay. There's nothing we can do then. And try and put pressure on them. No, we'll give them the money, if anything. No, we'll build them an airport, if anything. try and work out some sort of third measure, some sort of Guantanamo Bay version of something on one of the islands we've got, so that these people just simply aren't in the general population in Britain. Something. No, just back to Rochdale you go. Actually, that's not fair. It doesn't actually go back to Rochdale. I think for a while, for another few years or something, he's not allowed to return to Rochdale. I think that was part of the thing. But anyway. No Stern and Burnham, Andy Bumham, part of the problem for years, part of the silence and omission, and even on some levels cover-up for years, Andy Burnham. Now he's getting tough on it. Now he's saying, deport grooming gang rapist. It's in a lot of the papers, this story. It's one of the biggest stories today other than the football. Look, the Sun goes with it. Get him out. Vile grooming gang leader must be deported to Pakistan after he is freed, demands PM in waiting Burnham. Look at the state of that. Evil. The face of evil. That. 30 child rapes. You know there'll be way more. No, that was all he was convicted of. You know there would be way more. Pure. Undiluted evil. Pakistan, like, no, it's your problem. No, we're not accepting him back. Shabir Ahmed. Right. The Express. Rochdale grooming gang leader. The daddy of the gang. To be freed on Thursday. He won't be deported. Right. But Andy Burnham's going to get tough on it, is he? Andy Burnham. What he actually said was a little bit milquetoast. He didn't come out and do some sort of rant about it. He just said, I would hope that the Home Office look at all possible options. Something like that. He didn't seem to be impassioned about it. Or particularly care massively. Didn't seem like to me from the quotes I read. Andy Burnham just saying, yeah, it's probably best if the Home Office do everything they can to look at this one. There was let me see if I can find a story on the BBC News, because there's a few quotes. And they got a few quotes from the actual government sort of immigration minister. I can't find it. Anyway, they said, yeah, that we would like to be able to deport these types of people, but in this case, probably won't be able to. That was like the quote. I'm paraphrasing only ever so slightly. Yeah, that's basically what they said. What's my face now? Okay. All right. So we just allow monsters in our country to roam around. If you were convicted of 30 child rapes, there is no way you should ever, ever, ever be allowed out of prison. Well, by rights, we should bring back the death penalty, shouldn't we? Restore for that. Restore Britain for that. He should have been killed by the state for those sorts of crimes. No, 14 years and then back into the general population. There's something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there? Something terribly wrong. Here's a very interesting story from the Telegraph. Mandelson was, quote, privileged contact, quote, of Russian spies, claims dossier. Here's a tweet, just a little bit more from Politics UK. New. Peter Mandelson has reportedly been in contact with Russian spies for over 35 years. So that goes way back to Labour before 1997. Because Mandelson was there from day one, 1997. You know, things can only get better if you're the Russian intelligence services. He was considered a privileged contact and one of the most significant Russian achievements in manipulating UK politics in the last 30 years. Mandy. So, a traitor on multiple levels. Handing information over to Jeffrey Epstein. Sensitive information, politically sensitive information, and market sensitive information. As well as now, it seems, according to this, not just has friends that are Russian, has friends that are Chinese. Not just that. actively working with them in some way. A privileged contact. The most significant Russian achievement in manipulating UK politics in the last 30 years. He must have a trial. Surely the police, sorry, the CPS. Surely the CPS will come to the conclusion that he needs to stand trial for, if not treason, at least sort of sedition, at least sort of, well, there's a number of things they could choose to charge him with, shouldn't they? But like sort of under Official Secrets Act, because when you become a minister or an ambassador or something, I'm sure you have to sign the Official Secrets Act, things like that, you know, promising under pain of prosecution that you won't tell a foreign entity, whether it be a Russian handler or Jeffrey Epstein and his Israeli handlers. Yeah. Ehud Barak. Yeah. Was Ehud Barak not Jeffrey Epstein's Israeli intelligence handler? Was he or wasn't he? The FBI thought he was. Right. So, is Mandy going to stand trial for spying? For espionage? He should do, shouldn't he? Feels like he needs to. And then go to prison for the rest of his natural life. Again, they'll probably, if that ever happens, it might not even happen, but if it does, I'm sure they'll get, ultimately the judge will give him a slap on the wrist. Who knows? Who knows what's in store for the rest of Peter Mandelson's life? We shall see. 40,000 in stampede, not actual physical stampede, metaphorical stampede, for buy your tickets. It is at the British Museum. It is at the British Museum. And when you go to the British Museum, it's free to get in, but there, if there's a special exhibition, you have to pay to get into that. So you can walk around sort of 95% plus of the museum for free. If there's something that everyone really wants to see, they do charge you to get into that. It's not actually that cheap. Last time, I've been to British Museum exhibitions loads of times, a dozen times or so. Whenever there's a new exhibition every 6 months, every year, I'll go to it. Nearly always. Unless it's really, really... Something about Benin. Probably won't bother going to that. But all the other ones I'll go to. And I'll go to this. Apparently it's being shown... The Bayeux Tapestry is being shown in the British Museum for something like 10 months. So I'll just wait till it dies down a bit and then go one day. And I'm not sure if they'll let you film in there. Actually, in the paid exhibition. They probably won't, actually. Yeah. All right. I can make some content another way with it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to going to see that. Really, I'm looking forward to that at some point. Okay. Prince Harry warns of Invictus Games attack. Okay, don't care. Don't care. Deaths top births for first time in 50 years. Bit worrying, isn't it? The demographic decline. There's more than one element, isn't there, to demographic decline and replacement? Bit rich from The Telegraph, who only the other day reported a little story, even though they were ridiculing it, still talked about indirectly, still amplified the voice of someone that was saying white people shouldn't have babies anymore. They need to make room in their societies for refugees. Stop being so selfish and having babies. If you've got spare rooms and things for having babies, give them to refugees. The Times, the venerable Times. There's Harry Kane now after scoring a goal in football. Burnham's job will be to find 7 billion of cuts. Schools and hospitals face squeeze under new MPM. Yeah, I'm sure when Andy Burnham, once he comes out of hiding and becomes the Prime Minister, he will find that the fiscal situation is really, really quite dire. They always like to do that. Every single new leader, even if they're taking over from someone in their own party, will always, 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 always claim, I have inherited a terrible situation. And give me time. It's difficult. I've inherited a terrible situation. Well, in Burnham's case, it actually will be true. Actually will be true. All right, the Eye paper. Farage fears he will face by-election over £5 million gift from crypto billionaire. Is it that serious? Farage thinks it is. I didn't think it was that Serious. I've said all along, I'm going to talk about Farage a bit now for a moment. Just to make clear, which I did yesterday and once or even twice before when this £5 million thing has come up. And yesterday talked about the 270 grand he made out of a bullion company. And I'll say it again just to put my cards on the table. You know me here. You know us here at Lotus Eaters. We're pro-restore people, aren't we? Right? And I throw loads of shade at Nigel Al-Farage all the time. But I only do it, I actually only do it when I think it's properly necessary, when there's legit political reasons for it. And just trying to dunk on him over every tiny nothing burger. I even defend him sometimes, don't I? A little bit sometimes. When, even though I think he's a complete containment project and all that sort of thing, when I think the papers or whoever are trying to, they're raking up some complete nothing burger, I will say so. And I'm absolutely in favour of him having sound personal security, because that was what that £5 million was supposed to be for, wasn't it? His personal security. So, okay. So I've said and maintained, and still do, that I'll just really wait until the results of the more than one investigation into his personal finances now. I'll wait for the results of that. And if there's nothing to it, and he hasn't done anything wrong, then I will report that, saying, look, this was just people, a political witch hunt, and it didn't stick. Nigel hasn't actually done anything wrong. If it does turn out he's done something wrong, and then at that point, I will totally dunk on him, pretty much as hard as possible. Right? But at this stage, no, wait and see. Wait and see. It's like talking about a court case before it's finished, before a jury or a judge has come to a conclusion. A bit like that. So when I saw this morning, it did take me slightly by surprise. Apparently it is that Farage himself, insiders are saying, it's been leaked to that, you know, all that sort of thing. Rumour is that Nigel himself fears he will face by-election, i.e. that the investigations do come to the conclusion that he has done something wrong, he's broken the parliamentary code or whatever. And then he'll be forced into a by-election. In other words, he's got to rerun for his own seat, because he's effectively been thrown out of his own seat for wrongdoing. And if he wants to still be an MP, he's got to win the seat again, a by-election. And that Farage fears that sort of a possibility. Why? And it is only rumour at this stage, coming out of like the Farage camp, Farage's people. It is only rumour, so take it with a pinch of salt. But if there's any truth to that, that Farage does fear that, that's odd and telling, isn't it? That's... Again, I've got to sort of stop myself from sort of being gloating or anything about it at this stage. But if that's true, that's odd. That suggests that, doesn't it? Well, more than suggests, it sort of does say that he thinks he has done something wrong. Because there's the £5 million thing from that crypto billionaire, Christopher Harble. There's the 270 grand he made from the bullion company, which, as far as I can tell, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, as far as I can tell. Nothing. Other than perhaps it's in a tiny bit of bad taste, but there's nothing really wrong with that. But then the latest thing now, something all to do with his properties, that he actually owns 5 properties and he only declared 2. So what are you doing, Nige? Don't you want to... create the impression, whether it's true or not, create the impression that you're cleaner than clean, squeaky clean. Why are you failing to declare stuff all over the place? In fact, let's, where was it? Was it on the Mail? Let's go into this in a little bit more. Yeah, here we go. Let's read this article, a little bit of this article. Because, what you know, like, get to the point where it's like, wait, what's really going on here? Wait, Nigel fears he might face a by-election. What's the detail? Okay. Nigel Farage built £4 million property portfolio over a decade, yet only declared 2 of the 5 properties to Parliament. So on the face of it, that headline, you think, ooh, you know, there is something there. That's dodgy. Not necessarily. Already, still, I'm going to give Nigel the benefit of the doubt at this point. Why not? I mean, okay. £4 million properties, 5 different homes that total up to about £4 million. Now, As I say, Nigel's not a poor man. I think he makes over £2 million a year on GB News alone, right? So the idea that you spent £4 million over 10 years isn't crazy for Nigel. For Nigel, for someone who earns the amount he earns, that's not insane. So the question is not like, where has he got the money from? Is it from like nefarious means? Well, other than the Crystal Harbaugh stuff. It's more like, the problem really is more like, why didn't you declare it all though properly? In fact, let's not go into it in a crazy amount of detail. We'll see how it plays out over the coming days and weeks or even months. But yeah, so some of the stories is, I mean, his personal finances are becoming a bit of a thorn in his side, aren't they? In fact, that's the name of his business. I only learned that this morning. I didn't know that. At least two or three of the properties are held in the name of his company, which is called Thorn in the Side Limited. Like one of them is owned by his wife. One or two of them are owned by his wife. And there's rules about how if you own a property and you lease it to friends or family and they pay little or minimal rent, if you take in less than 10 grand a year in rent, then you don't have to declare it. It's a little bit complicated over the exact rules of when you do and you don't have to declare things. Okay? That's basically the story. It's about whether he declared it really, not how much money he's actually got or where it came from particularly, other than the Chris Harbaugh 5 million. And so obviously Reform themselves, like the Reform UK spokesman said, everything has been properly declared and checked with the Parliamentary Register. It's sad to see that the Daily Mail are going after those that have done well for themselves. It's not just the Daily Mail, it's loads of the papers on various days, loads of the news organs. But of course Reform would say that, wouldn't they? Of course they would say that, that they're like an official spokesman. The point is, it seems like Nigel's, well, you can't avoid the conclusion that Nigel has skirted, at the very least, at the absolute minimum, has skirted close to the line of what he should or shouldn't have declared. Because is it Jeremy Hunt, of all people? They got a quote, yes, from Jeremy Hunt. You don't remember, Jeremy Hunt, a scumbag, a COVID era complete scumbag. Nevertheless, he said, and because he's got properties, like I think multiple properties, and he's got some that he, under the name of a company he owns, Marepond Properties, whatever. He just said, look, what you do, what most people do, MPs, I mean, most MPs, is you just err on the side of caution. If you're not sure whether you should declare it or not, just declare it. To avoid this, exactly this. Right, Mr. Farage said he had acted with an abundance of caution in detailing his assets. Why? No, the opposite. Don't be cautious about what you do or don't declare. Declare everything. In dealing with his assets, while a spokesman said everything had been checked by the registrar. The former Chancellor, Sir Jeremy Hunt. Who declares the 7 properties that his company, Marepond Properties Limited, owns, said, I did that because the rules are very clear that you must not do anything improper or anything that could reasonably be perceived as improper. And Nicholas Allen, an expert on MPs Codes of Conduct from the University of London, said, the standards regime has long been clear that MPs should err on the side of caution when it comes to registering their interests. The use of the word caution there is in when Nigel used it and when this guy used it is in a different usage of it. They should err on the side of caution, i.e. you're not sure whether to declare it or not, just declare it. When they haven't, they have opened themselves up to potential investigation. Yeah, that's basically the story. Okay, now in and of itself, for me personally, it's not like I'm more interested in policy. I'm more interested if and how Reform and Nigel can save our country, can save our demographic, can save us from an Islamic takeover, can save our women folk from endless rapes. However, Nigel fears, if that's true, Nigel fears he might have to face a by-election over it all. Well, we'll see. I've talked about it for a bit there. We'll move on, but we'll see. Is this one of the things that brings Nigel down? It may or may not. I've said that weeks ago when this first first started coming up in the news cycle. I said, this could be an absolute nothing burger or it could ruin him. I have to wait for the investigations to play out. All right. Rainer fights Angela the Big Bird Rainer. Angela the Fridge, Big Bird Rainer. Fights for cabinet return with housing job pitch to Burnham. She wants to be the housing minister again. Former deputy PM, Big Bird. You know she's 7'2" and weighs 500 pounds, you know. Built like an absolute unit. Former deputy, by the way, of course she's not 7'2" and weighs 500 pounds. That's slightly exaggerated. She's 6'9" and not a shade over 400 pounds. Former deputy PM urges the next government to rewire England by devolving power, it's right on the limit of my eyesight, this, how small that is, by devolving power and money to town halls as she pitches herself for ministerial role. I do need to get that monocle. Should I actually get a monocle? It would be such an affectation. It'd be funny though, wouldn't it? Maybe I'll get a monocle. Angela Rayner echoes words used by Burnham in speech in Manchester on Monday, as likely next PM finalises plans for his cabinet lineup. Sources close to Rayner insist no job offer has yet been made, but allies claim she would welcome a return to her old job as housing secretary. There you go. She had to quit the role after underpaying stamp duty. And they decided after quite a long investigation that she hadn't done anything wrong. She'd underpaid that stamp duty to the tune of tens of thousands of pounds in good faith. It was a reasonable error. And as long as she pays it up, it's all good, which she then did. Okay. Odd though, isn't it? Ironic that the housing minister fluffed up their stamp duty. Like a mathematician being unable to do long division or something, isn't it? It's like the health secretary being a heavy smoker. Something. Right, okay. The Financial Times, the only paper that doesn't go with the football. They're still talking about Trump's earnings that he and the businesses that Witkoff and Don Jr. own made hundreds of millions of dollars, or $1 billion or something. They're still talking about that today. Okay, Bluecrest, which is just a capital investment company, questions UK as a business destination after £200 million tax defeat. Platt, the guy who runs this company, loses legal battle. Courts tighten definition. Anyway, the point is that this investment company, asset management type company, just said the taxes in the UK are just too high and it's just not really a realistic, viable place to do business anymore. Like if you've got a big offices in London, in the city of London, the Golden Mile, probably think about going somewhere else if you can, because the taxes are just astronomical. All right. The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. They're talking about this monster. Rape victim on today's release of Monster. We cannot deport due to broken system. I fear for my safety after gang boss is freed. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How our governments have ever allowed us to get into a situation where we can't deport someone like this. He's not a dual citizen even anymore. He's just a Pakistani now. The only passport he will own is a Pakistani one. Been convicted of 30 child rapes and we can't deport him. So we can't really deport anyone. I mean, they do. They do still deport some people, don't they? But him. Filth, I can't look at him. Can't even look at it. Makes my blood boil. It's the worst. And the Home Office spokesman was just like, yeah, we will try, we'll look at it, but in this case, probably not. We need Pakistan to agree to it, and they won't. Oh, well. The Guardian, ugh. Oh, just stop. Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know what you're doing. You're trying to undermine our society, aren't you? Trying to ruin this country. One paper at a time. Bruce. Freaks. Fifth columnist. This is a fifth column in our country, The Guardian. If it was up to me, in Bowes, Britain, I would pass legislation that would prescribe the media being a fifth column, being subversive, undermining us. The Guardian would come under that umbrella, no doubt. Channel 4 News, perhaps even the BBC. You are subverting our society. Why should we allow it? Why should we? A communist mouthpiece, an anti-white, anti-Western, globalist mouthpiece of sedition and treason. The Guardian, the people they print and the things they print in The Guardian, at the very least, is seditious. Close it down. Burn it out. Get rid of it. Clear it out. The Guardian. The goddamn purple-haired and leftist boomers that love The Guardian. You're the problem, you know. You're the problem. Yeah. Yeah, you. Yeah. Yeah. US trade deal on medicines will cost the NHS $45 billion. I mean, this was part of what Trump said when he brought in his tariffs right at the beginning of his new administration. That the US pharmaceutical industry, in some ways, is extremely evil, and in other ways is among the greatest things humans have ever achieved, really. The fact that they're even, despite how expensive they are, the fact there are certain drugs which in generations, centuries past, you simply suffered with that illness, that ailment, forever until it killed you. And now you can take a tiny little pill that will sort it out. Right? Isn't that a miraculous thing? So many diseases in the pre-modern age, so many, that when you got them, that was just a chronic disease and you just lived with it until it killed you. Hundreds and hundreds of different ailments. And now these giant pharmaceutical companies, evil as they are in all sorts of ways, you can get a little pill and can take that and you'll live a long life. Right, so the US pharmaceutical companies have, in a way, in a sense, have been subsidising the rest of the world in lots of ways. Selling their drugs with trade deals that wasn't really in their best interest. It's like they don't make a big enough profits already. Selling them to the rest of the world at a cut price, not an actual market price. And Trump came into power and said, no, we're going to start doing that. Then we're going to start selling them at like normal competitive prices. But a year later, whatever it is, 18 months later, it all starts kicking in, starting taking effect. And the NHS, as well as other countries all around the world, suddenly realise, oh, particular types of medicines that are manufactured in the United States that we were buying for pennies on the pound, pennies on the dollar, it's actually going to cost us tons more now. Tons and tons and tons more. There you go. I'm really not playing defense on behalf of the big pharmaceutical companies. I think I've said a couple of times in the last few minutes, haven't I? They are evil. It's only a great achievement in the broadest sense. If you zoom out in the broadest sense of all of human civilization, there were loads of ailments that were terrible and just caused untold human misery and death, and now not so much. But the pricing thing about it all, it's not good. I mean, we won't be able to fund that probably, or only to an extent, which will lead to deaths. There you go, the thing underneath. Cuts to services could cause 200,000 avoidable deaths, analysis finds. Okay, that's the front pages. That's the front pages. We've got our poll. Well, just before I do the poll today, because I actually remember what it is once, let's have a look at the price of oil, crude oil, at the moment, right now, in real time, basically. West Texas, just shy of $68 a barrel. Brent crude, just over $70 a barrel. So it's, again, significantly lower than what it was in February, at the beginning of February, when the war in Persia started. And in fact, there's a story here on the BBC. Diesel sees biggest monthly fall in 26 years. What's happening to fuel prices? And I read this article this morning. It's reasonably long with all different elements to it. But basically the upshot of it is that crude hit an all-time high right near the beginning. I think it was one of the all-time highs, very near all-time high, in like 2021 or 2022, when the war in the Donbass first kicked off. And even at the height of it during this war with Iran, didn't go that high. And anyway, it's down. And in like, was it like the year 2000 or so, there was a big spike as well for different reasons. Okay, so they're now saying that diesel and petrol has come down massively recently in the last few days or so. So, our poll today was, Harry, you have to bring it up for me. Did you see, it was something like, did you see a fall in the price? Okay, we asked you, have you noticed a fall in the price at the petrol pump? 38% of you say yes, and 62% of you say no. Interesting. How many votes we got? Over 900 votes there. Okay, that's interesting to note. Harry, I asked you, didn't I? Have you seen a reduction in it? And you said yes, a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell us your story again real quick.
Yeah, so, I mean, because I use E5, it's, it went up by quite a bit, but it hasn't really gone back down that much yet. Although it's expensive anyway, so.
So, but didn't you say that it has come down a few pence?
Yeah.
Per litre. All right, so it's certainly not continuing to go up, and it is coming down a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely not.
Okay. There you go. So only 38% of you said yes to that. Huh. Interesting. According to reports, it is just across the board. It is down. I mean, it was saying it plunged by 17p a litre for diesel anyway, for diesel. I'll have to ask Big Harry. I believe Big Harry drives a diesel. Well, he does. He does. 17p a litre for diesel. There's all sorts of other things, aren't there? Like heating oil. A number of other things. All right. Well, okay. Interesting to note that only 62% of you said no to that. All right. Shall we have a look at some of the one or two other stories this morning? Oh. Bear with me 1 second. Okay. What do you got? This guy. Look at the state of this. How many people like this have we got in our country? People smuggler convicted in France, now seeking asylum in UK. Exactly the sort of person. It should be a 1 second no-brainer. The Home Office just stamp. Nope. Of course not. Look, this guy. People smuggler tracked down and confronted by BBC in his little vape shop. The front for organised crime and people smuggling and money laundering and drugs and prostitution, child prostitution and God knows what. This. Oh, please, sir, let me stay. Why shouldn't we? You're a cancer in our country, people like you. People like that. Clear them out. Get rid of them. Oh, so frustrating. We just need a government with the political will to make false millions to go. They came here against our will, so they can go back against theirs if it needs be. Taylor Swift's getting married. Don't care. All right. Was there one? Oh, this is a mildly interesting story. Two people, climbers, a man and a woman, they scaled the Empire State Building and then got engaged at the very top of the Empire State Building. Ah. But you're not allowed to do that without permission, so they were immediately arrested. If you get permission, you can't just scale the outside of a big building like that without the authorities being aware. It's horrible. A Canadian boy, 11, dies of rabies after waking to a bat on his face. Oh, thanks for that. Thanks for letting us know that. That's horrible. If you've ever seen a rabies victim in extremis towards the end, a rabies victim, it's one of the most harrowing, horrible things you will ever see. Dying of rabies is terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Ugh. Okay. Was there one more story in the Sun I thought was of mild interest? Sorry, you tend to. Oh. Uh-huh. Oh, Ant out of Ant and Dec is annoyed about e-bikes, e-scooters. Really, that's what you're worried about? Really? That's what your globalist paymasters have allowed you to say you're worried about, isn't it? E-scooters. Yeah? Not the organised crime, not the demographic replacement, not the tidal wave of sex crime. E-scooters. That's what Ant McParlan cares about. That's what he's getting angry about. Because, of course, the people that control him say, you're not allowed to say a word about anything else, anything more spicy than that. Well, shill. PJ and Duncan. Does your radio still rock, Ant? I wonder if Ant McPartland's radio still rocks. All right, let's have a look at On This Day in History, shall we? I like doing that bit. You seem to like doing that bit. On the 2nd of July, down through the centuries, what happened of note? The first one here, I don't know. I don't really know any detail about. It says, incident at Xuanwu Gate. Prince Li Shimi ambushes and kills his rivals, the brothers Li Yuanji and Li Jiancheng, sons of Emperor Gaozu. 7th century China. I don't know about it. I'm sorry, I just don't. And then forces the emperor to name him as successor to the throne. Okay. I'm sorry, 7th century AD China is just not in my wheelhouse. Okay, next one is though. On this day, 2nd of July, 1776. Only 2 days later, isn't it? The 4th of July. Right. Continental Congress resolves, comes to the conclusion that, quote, these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states. It's a Declaration of Independence. So, got all sorts of content about that era. Did long-form content with Benjamin Boyce all about Washington, George Washington. Made various bits of content about the Revolutionary War. And of course, 4th of July, I mean, that's when it was sort of ratified isn't quite the right word, but when it was formally all finished, but as early as the 2nd of July, they're starting to sign it. It took a few days. Slightly complicated, convoluted process. But of course, the documents are already drawn up before that. Largely Jefferson, Franklin, and John Adams, basically. It's mainly Thomas Jefferson, mainly, wrote the Declaration of Independence. Almost entirely his work, but not entirely. And they start signing it as early as the 2nd. Was it John Hancock who signed it first? That's why there's that old saying, it's a bit old-fashioned now, you might never have heard it, that refer to your signature as your John Hancock. Or you want me to sign something, you know, on the dotted line, put your John Hancock on the dotted line. I think that's because he was the first one to sign it. Is that right? I got that terribly wrong. Okay, all right, 1776, because America's birthday, isn't it, at the weekend, 250 years. Okay, on this day in 1823, Bahia, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Bahia Independence Day, end of Portuguese rule in Brazil with the final defeat of the Portuguese crown loyalists in the province of Bahia. Okay, I know a little bit about Brazilian independence and the Portuguese getting kicked out. I don't know a great deal about that specific bit of it, so I'll move on. All right, the Salvation Army, is that from West Side Story, or... Well, it says, in 1865, one-time Methodist Reformed Church minister William Booth and his wife Catherine Booth found the East London Christian mission known as the Salvation Army. Yeah, good intentions, right? Won't say anything bad about the Salvation Army. Yeah, but that's, what's that? That's just from that film. Is it? West Side Story, Guys and Dolls? Oh, I don't know, anyway. Alright, well, let's just move on from that. In 1964, US President Lyndon B. Johnson signs the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act into law. Well done. Yeah, well done. We talked about this a few days ago, didn't we? That perhaps a lot of issues which are at the heart of many problems of the US society come out of the Civil Rights Act. The road to hell is paved with good intentions very often, isn't it? You might think, oh, what's wrong with the Civil Rights Act? Why, surely that's properly bigoted and racist to have any sort of issue with the Civil Rights Act. No, it caused all sorts of problems. It has caused loads and loads of problems. It's not that I don't want black people to have equal rights as whites, but it went far beyond that, didn't it? Like forcing integration. Not just, oh, there's a white university that black people aren't allowed in, and now we'll change the rules so that they could be allowed in. No, we're going to force them in. We're going to force your peoples to intermingle. Okay. On this day in 1990, 1,426 pilgrims are trampled to death after a panic in a tunnel in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Yeah, pretty common. Not every single year, but very often. During the Hajj, the mandatory pilgrimage that every Muslim who's, or male anyway, that's got enough money and is able-bodied is supposed to go to Mecca at least once in their life. The Hajj, the pilgrimage. Yeah, not every single year, but quite often, there's crushes and stampedes where sometimes thousands and thousands of people die. In fact, the Saudi Arabian authorities, well, the House of Al Saud, reworked loads of Mecca, the actual city of Mecca, to make much, much bigger, broader thoroughfares to try and stop it happening. They spent like a few billion on that in recent years, in like the last 10 years or something, to prevent, because it would happen all the time. There'd be some sort of stampede and then loads of pilgrims would crush each other to death. That's just one of those in 1990, not even a particularly bad one. 1,400. That's the rookie numbers for Hajj Mecca stampedes. Look it up. All right. That's on this day in history. Should we look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? It's nearly 9. Let's have a look. Let me just do that with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen. Is Global Church History in at number 1? Let's have a look. Let's have a quick look. Is he still in there? Yes, he is. Good stuff. Good stuff. And still, Mr. Church History. First name Global, second name double-barreled, Church History. That's his name. You say, today in 866 AD, Ranulf I, ancestor of the Capetians, was killed by Bretons and Vikings at Brisarth, where Brittany secured its independence. Yeah, I don't know a great deal, but I know a tiny bit about Ranulf I, a little bit. I've heard the name and stuff, but I don't know a great amount of detail about his life. It's like the 9th century France. Yeah, not exactly my wheelhouse. No, a little bit. Well, I know, broadly speaking, about Viking invasions into at least northern France in that era, in and around that era. I mean, the Normans, or the people that go on to be the Normans, like that area wasn't called Normandy. It was called like, what, Neustria? Was it Neustria? When the old Frankish kings controlled it, the ancestors, the descendants of Charlemagne. And then Viking peoples came down, obviously from Scandinavia. They're not just raiding England, they're raiding all of like modern day Holland and Belgium and France. And what was it? Rollo, King Rollo, not the 1970s cartoon King Rollo, an actual real life King Rollo from Scandinavia comes down, settles in Neustria in like the 8th, 9th century. And then quite quickly, within 2, 3, 4 generations at most, they Frankify themselves. They stop giving themselves Scandinavian names, start giving themselves French names, like William and Richard and things. And take on Christianity, abandon their old, the old Norse gods, become Christians, start building in the European style, and call the land Normandy, and they become Normans. But they're actually Viking raiders in the first instance. Okay, all right, great. The other factoid we get here, you say in 1494, the treaty of Tordesillas was ratified by Spain. Oh, I know all about that. Oh, that's right in my wheelhouse, that stuff. On my own history theme show, Bodade's Epochs on lotusetus.com, do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership. I've got a long, long series all about Magellan. I've mentioned it more than once, haven't I? It's Harry's favourite, actually, isn't it?
It is.
It's a good one. How many parts was it? 14 parts? Was it more? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's like 13 or 14.
Each one an hour apiece, if not a bit more. So there's easily 15, 16 hours of me telling you the story about Magellan, the first man ever to circumnavigate the globe. Went west, kept going, round the bottom of South America, across the Pacific, through the Indies, under India, and around the bottom of Africa, and back up to Spain. First man to ever circumnavigate the globe. He personally didn't survive, but he's mended. Some of his men did. A very, very small number of his men did. Anyway, mention that, because in that, I would have been one of the earlier episodes, talk all about that, the Treaty of Tordesillas, which is when Portugal and Spain, and we're talking the 15th century, realised after Christopher Columbus that there is in fact giant land masses across the ocean sea. That's what they called the Atlantic, the ocean sea, that's their name for it. That there are lots and lots of islands and almost certainly giant land masses, continental sized land masses over there. And they both wanted to, like, the right to control them. And they couldn't decide amongst themselves properly because they're complete rivals. And so they appealed, they're both Catholic, of course, this is before the Reformation. They appealed to the Pope to say, you decide. And the Pope got them together and it all ended ultimately in the Treaty of Tordesillas. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, probably not. And the Pope said, look, we'll draw a line down the Atlantic. They divvied up the new world between them. Of course, some of the other maritime nations, France, the Netherlands, England. We didn't give a fig what the Pope had told the Portuguese and the Spanish at the Treaty of Tordesillas. We were like, well, no, well, you're going to tell us we can't sail across the ocean sea to like Canada or something? No, 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 we can do whatever we want, thanks. Thank you. And of course, where the Pope had, not of course, but one of the takeaways, headlines about it is where the Pope had drawn a line down the earth. There's a big chunk of Brazil that pokes out over beyond that line. Everything to the west of it was Spanish. And a big chunk of Brazil sticks out, and the Portuguese are like, right, we're taking that. And hence, centuries later, we're talking about Brazilian independence from Portugal just a moment ago, weren't we? And they speak Portuguese to this day in Brazil. Well, Brazilian Portuguese to this day. All stems out of that, the Treaty of Tordesillas, signed on this day in 1494. Quite a big thing in history. When those things, when you learn about that and you hear about that, you're like, oh, things start making a bit more sense. Oh, that's why that is. Oh, that's why the modern world looks like that. That's why history is great. If you want to know why the present is the way it is, you have to learn some history. I find it incredible when people say, I don't care about history, it's boring. Well, So you're not curious about anything then? Don't you want to know why the world is the way it is now? You don't want to know that? The present is just a product of the past. You're not interested in why, how the world works and why it is the way it is, no? History is boring. Okay. All right. Good luck. Good luck navigating through the world then. Okay. Thanks for that, Global Church History. The next one is Jacob Castro. Doesn't say how much money, but it's in red. That usually means it's a lot of money, doesn't it? Anyway. Well, thank you. But I don't know how much you've actually donated there. But it is in red. Quite rare. Jacob Castro says... It just says, Jacob Castro has raided the stream! Exclamation mark. Oh! Well, thank you. It seems like it's a welcome raid. If you've donated a bit of money there. Appreciate it. Welcome aboard. You are now a member of the glorious band, The Chosen Few. Jeffrey Farnell says, morning, old boy. Morning, old boy. Jolly good. Have you seen that Nintendo is remaking Ocarina of Time? Are you a fan of the original? Ocarina, is that, Harry, do you know, what is that? Oh, isn't that the,
Legend of Zelda.
Zelda, that's it, Zelda. I played it a bit, actually, to be honest. A little bit, but not massively. I know some people, that was like a proper cult classic, wasn't it? It's like their favourite game of all time and stuff. Is it on the N64, the one that people really, really, really loved? Was it an N64 game? I think it was. I played it a fair bit. I sunk a fair few hours into it, but I don't think I ever completed the story mode or anything. It's like one of the first really good open world games, wasn't it? Played it a fair bit, but I haven't got time for games these days, particularly, other than the odd bit of Civ 4. I play Civ 4 sometimes. But as for, like, deep PC gaming, I haven't got a decent rig anyway. Or console gaming. I don't own a DS or anything. I've got an old Xbox 360, which just gathers dust in the corner. I really hardly ever use it. I just haven't got time. I spend nearly all day, every day working, really. If I do get a little bit of time free, completely free, I usually spend it just buggering about on YouTube or Twitter. Sinking dozens or even hundreds of hours into a game. It's just not practical for me, I'm afraid. All right. St. Luke 91, Luke Street. Luke Stewart says, g'day, Bo. Oh, yeah, g'day, mate. How good. Says, g'day, Bo, and everyone. Hope everyone's doing well on this Thursday evening. Or, because he's in Australia. It's the evening. Just in case you don't get to it, apparently an Iranian man arrested over an arson attack on a mosque in Dublin. Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see that in the news cycle at all this morning. Okay, has that happened? An Iranian man on an arson attack on a mosque in Dublin. Was it like a Sunni mosque? And if he's Iranian, he's Shia? Or perhaps he's a Zoroastrian? Perhaps he's a Zoroastrian or a very, very rare Iranian Christian. That's the first time hearing of it. Okay, next one is also Luke. You say, this might sound horrible, but I'm at the effort stage. Next time Pakistan or any of these third world S-holes has a natural disaster, don't send any aid unless they take their rapist back. Yeah, they could do all sorts of stuff. They could put pressure on Pakistan in a myriad of ways if they wanted to. Again, it's just a matter of having the political will to do it. Or make a deal with some other country somewhere else in the world. And say, you've got a little remote island somewhere. The island of St. Helena has been mooted once or twice. Yeah, in fact, Britain has got all sorts of overseas territories. Little islands in the middle of the Indian Ocean or the Pacific or the Atlantic where we could build some sort of equivalent of Guantanamo Bay where it's like, if you don't leave, we will put you there. You spend the rest of your life in detention there. It would just require political will, wouldn't it? It would just require enough MPs to vote for it and the will to not buckle under the pressure from the likes of The Guardian and Channel 4 News. That's all it would require. I'll say all. It's quite a big ask, isn't it? But yeah, they could put loads of pressure on Pakistan in a number of ways, but they just won't. They don't want to. They don't want to. They would rather this monster stay in our country. Pardon me. Right. Pigdog 5150. I do beg your pardon. Just got a little bit of... Okay. You've just put rapists, ... deport, ... Huh. Maybe deport their soul from their moral, from their mortal coil. Rupert, better bring back that punishment. Yeah, it is a policy of Restore Britain to have a national referendum on the death penalty. It was always a bleeding heart liberal thing. Always. It was always a socialist lefty thing to get rid of it. Oh, you can't... What if you accidentally execute someone that's innocent? Well... Actually, isn't a bad argument. Well, in this day and age, when you've got DNA evidence, and when you're sure, to the tune of billions to one, that someone did it with blood or semen evidence, it's billions to one that it wasn't this person, i.e. it was. The odds of it not being them is more than there are people in the world, so it just was them. But then, so that argument falls apart. You might execute an innocent person. Well, no, we can be sure they're not an innocent party. What about them? Oh, they're human rights. No. Don't give me human rights. All of that is subjective. No, I don't accept the bleeding heart liberal thing of that you cannot put them to death. No, they deserve death. Someone like that Axel Rudy Katana dude, whatever it was. Someone like Ian Huntley. Someone like this guy that has done 30 child rapes and undoubtedly more, controlled a gang that would have done hundreds and hundreds. And talk to me about morals and ethics. They deserve death. Yeah. And Restore Britain will give you a national referendum on that. I don't think that's reforms policy. Pretty sure it's not. Might be wrong. Pretty sure it's not. Okay, next one, the next couple are also Pigdog 5150 again. You say, in quotation marks, can't deport, ? Traitors, yeah. Yeah. All that is needed is sufficient testicular fortitude. The balls to do it. That's a classic, that's from wrestling, isn't it? WWE. Vince McMahon used to say that, didn't he? Or Triple H, or Steve Austin. The testicular fortitude. Just the guts, the balls. A righteous will. Yeah, all that is needed is testicular fortitude and a righteous will. A few good men. A Hercules. Fly them to their most likely country of origin and boot them out. Again, boils down to the political will. Enough MPs to do it. And then the will to not bend under the scorn and ire of somebody like Shami Chakrabarti. That's all it requires. Pigdog 5150 again says, the Bayeux tapestry, if no video recording is allowed, maybe a high quality voice recording over the top of some public domain video or images of the tapestry. Yeah. Did Harold take one in the eye? An arrow in the eye. I think so, yes. When you look at it, oh God, I could talk about this for easily 20 minutes. So just a quick 1 or 2 minutes. In the Bayeux tapestry, it's not just pictures and the ornate border. There's also all sorts of writing on it. It's actually not a tapestry, is it? It's an embroidery. That's my fedora tip. Actually, it's not a tapestry. It's an embroidery. There's all sorts of writing, and one of the conventions in it is that they write the name of the person directly over the head, directly on above the person. So, like, there'll be a depiction of William the Conqueror. It's obviously William the Conqueror sitting on a throne. And above his head, the writing, when it gets to the name William, that will be directly over the top of his head. Right? That's the convention in the tapestry embroidery. And so the bit where there's someone getting an arrow in the eye, people said, you don't know that's Harold. That might not be Harold. That could just be anyone. That could be a soldier. But it says Harold directly. In fact, the wording of Harold has to go around the top of his head and the arrow. So it's Harold. It's Harold. In my opinion, that's supposed to be him getting an arrow in the eye. So for me, yeah, I think it's contrarian people that say it's not. I think it is. All right. Could go into loads more detail about all of that, but... Right, next couple, St. Luke again. He says, if Auntie Bumham wants to be Prime Minister forever, all he had to do was just kick out the rapists and criminals and everyone would keep voting for Labour forever. He'd be as popular as Nayib Bukele. Yeah. I've said a number of times, if the most leftist people suddenly became based, truly based, and I believed, I had faith, they would do what's required to save this country, pardon me, from a sectarian nightmare, I would support them. If Ed Davey came out and was suddenly leader of the Lib Dems, suddenly became uber-based, and I had faith, I believed him that he meant it, I would say so, and I'd lend him my support. It's just not going to happen. No, Stern and Burnham will do no such thing, because it's hard baked into his worldview, isn't it, to have an out-group preference. It's a socialist, communist thing that our capitalist society is fundamentally bad and should be ripped down. Luke again says, interesting when you look at a lot of charity, even some government organisations started as a church Christian thing to help people. They love to talk about the bad, but they forget the good done too. Yeah, when you look at it, Christian's going to be annoyed at me for saying this, but what Luke says there is actually true. Various Christians... Well, look at the Pope. Isn't he sort of an arch... something close to an arch, wokist, open borders type? Aren't there lots and lots of examples of Anglican, let's stop with the Catholics, let's talk about the Protestants, loads and loads of Anglican priests and bishops, female ones with purple hair, gay ones with the rainbow lanyards holding up signs saying we're all Muslim now, refugees welcome here. Yeah. Yep. I won't labour the point because I know a lot of our audience is Christian, but it's a fair point. Not just Christian, also a lot of Jewish organisations. A lot of Jewish organisations, don't they? They've advocated over the years for open borders, haven't they? There's a pattern there, isn't there? Isn't there? Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. Okay, Pigdog5150 says, definitely monocle. Should I get a monocle? I don't even know where you'd buy one. Where do you even get a monocle these days? Off the internet, of course. Sorry. I'm thinking of a monocle shop. There's no monocle shop in Swindon. Get one off the internet, can I? All right. Luke again says, forget the past and be doomed to repeat it. Why I like learning and living history. Yeah, that's a classic old cliche, isn't it? Those who fail to learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. Yeah. History never repeats itself, but it does rhyme. Yeah, no, absolutely. Cicero, the first century BC Roman statesman and orator, did say, in translation, of course, to remain ignorant of your past is to forever remain a child. You don't learn about the past. You're bumbling through the world like a little kid, not knowing what's going on or why. Yeah, learn a bit of history if you haven't already. I know a lot of you have. That's obviously not directed at global church history. He knows his stuff. He's out history broed me a couple of times. Okay. Tom Ratt says, modern exile. You serve your sentence, then remain indefinitely until unless you sort out a country to go to who will take you. Right. Yeah. I mean, that would probably... We'd have to build more prisons, more facilities for that. But yeah. Yeah, you're not allowed back into the general population. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be up for that. I like that. And the final rumble rant today is from Big Paradox 23. Who says, Salvation Army put me in a 2 meter square room and told me as a worker I would be billed $1,400 a month. Had to sign a waiver because of bed bugs and salmonella ridden eggs. They're an evil cult. Oh, well, okay. I did not know that. I don't know a great deal about the Salvation Army, to be honest. I've never had to use them in any way. You're saying they're bad. That is news to me. Okay, my knowledge of them was very minimal. I know a bit about William Booth and Catherine Booth and the founding of it in the 19th century. I don't know how they operate these days. The main thing I know about them in real life, actual real life experience, is sometimes a fate. They have a band, the Salvation Army band. But you're saying, according to that, this is honestly news to me, that they're pretty bad. They're an evil cult, you've described them as. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. That is a little bit shocking news to me. I just always assumed, because I've never had any interaction with them, just assumed it was just a good thing, like Dr. Barnardo's or whatever, or Oxfam. Although Oxfam are a bit dodgy, aren't they? Done a few dodgy things in the past. Oh, okay. If that's true, and I'm not saying it's not true, I'm not questioning you, but if that's true, that's horrible. Oh. All right. Who knew? I didn't know. Maybe I should have to do some bit of research about them then. Read a bit about them. A bit of a blind spot for me then. Good to know. It's good to realise what your blind spots are. Talk about history. Learn some history. It's good to know, to recognise what bits you don't know. And if needs be, remedy that. Okay, let's look at the YouTube Super Chats, please, Harry. You have to bring that up on my screen for me. Make it so. Engage. There it is. Okay. What have we got? 20-odd. Okay. Jordan Jeffrey says, Diesel, May 31st, I paid £1.98 per litre. June 23rd, I paid £1.60 per litre. It's coming down. Weird but true. There you go. Our poll still says 63% of you say it hasn't come down. Jordan Jeffrey begs to differ with you. As does little Harry. As does the mainstream media. Okay. The Demon King Restore doesn't say anything and just gives a little bit of money there. Appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Belgians are evil, trust me. That's a one long thing. I actually do find it quite difficult to read one long word like that. But it's Belgians are evil, trust me, says. Names of airport cops known, not Henry Novak cops. Right, is it you talk about that Manchester airport thing? And then, but Henry Novak cops. Yeah, so it was in the news. I should talk about it today, actually. Maybe I'll try and talk about it tomorrow. That at least two of those cops on the night of the Henry Novak killing are being investigated by the IOPC, the Police Internal Investigations Unit. Only after that investigation has finished will they even look at whether they'll be prosecuted or disciplined in any way. But at least two of them, it's got to be the main guy, that male cop who said, "I don't think you are, mate." He's got to be one of them, hasn't he? But they haven't been named. Yeah. Not yet. If it goes to court, they will be. If they actually get prosecuted for something, then they will be. But at the moment, you're right, they've not been named at this stage. Okay. The Demon King Restore again says, those who say they haven't seen a price drop don't get out much. As a driver for a living, it's dropped about 30p a litre. There you go. Facts. I assume the Demon King Restore isn't just lying. You know, he isn't. So, dropped 30p a litre. Again, BBC saying it's the biggest drop in 26 years. But still, 63% of you said no. Okay. Right. User, and then a really long string of letters, says... Don't you think Russia is based? How he a traitor? Don't you think Russia is based how he a traitor? I'm not sure what... Except, I mean, Russia is based in some ways, isn't it? Like, it's not... Based isn't probably the right word. Russia's a funny society. Funny, not particularly ha-ha. Funny, odd. In some ways, they are based, aren't they? Like, they're sort of Russian Orthodox Christian. They're not globo-homo, right? He takes the mickey out of the West and the United States for being globo-homo, doesn't he? Literally mocks it. So, and they're very patriotic. Probably haven't got much of a choice about that. But they're very patriotic in all sorts of ways. They are based. In loads of other ways, Russian society seems horrible. I'm not sure I'd want to live there. I'd love to visit St. Petersburg. Wouldn't mind visiting Moscow. A couple of other places in Russia I'd quite like to visit. I'd definitely like to visit the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. But there's it is still like a highly controlled society, isn't it, though? If you do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, you do get in trouble. Although if you say the wrong thing in Britain, you get in trouble, don't you? I mean, I don't know how bad it is now, but certainly in the early 2000s, it was like a kleptocracy. It was like a gangsters ran society. Gangsters. I don't know if it's still the case. I think it is. There's all sorts of problems with Russian society. But I don't know exactly what you're saying there, user. I do remember that yesterday you said you made some sort of extremely pro-Ukraine sentiment. Don't you think Russia is based how he a traitor? I don't know what that last bit means. How he a traitor. Who are you talking about? What, Putin? I didn't call Putin a traitor. Okay. You'll have to clarify yourself or reread your super chat before you post it so that it makes full sense. Another one from Belgians Are Evil Trust Me says, that's their name, at Belgians Are Evil Trust Me says, a joke, they doxed Broken Nose Girl, not Novak cops. Oh, it's a joke that they doxed... Right, okay. So... Right, yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. Our enemies, the left, is Islamophiles. Yeah, they'll dox the cop, that female cop that got her nose broke. They'll dox her. Or she's somehow by default on the other side of the ledger to their pro-Islam worldview. But the Novak cops, who aren't, yeah, just by default, yeah, they won't dox them. Telling, isn't it? Very telling. Erwin Romulus, how are you, sir? Met him at the Lotus Eaters live event. He said, what do you make of Henry Bolton? Oh, right, so, okay. I'll reserve judgment a little bit, but I will say a few words. So Henry Bolton was named, I think just yesterday, wasn't he, some sort of spokesman for Restore. I think it was on, was it on military things or foreign affairs things? I can't remember exactly. I had a super busy day yesterday. Didn't get much time to do, just sit there reading Twitter and reading the news. So... there are some concerns, I think. I'll have to brush up again on Henry Bolton's backstory. He was leader of UKIP for a while, wasn't he? That was one of his things. He was in the military, wasn't he? He was. I don't know a fantastic amount about him. I probably should. So I'm those people, I should. He was in the military, wasn't he? And he was a policeman for a long time, wasn't he? And he was the leader of UKIP for a while, wasn't he? But then I think there were some questions about how he managed UKIP poorly. I don't know. I need to brush up on it. So before I give my opinion fully, one way or another, let me brush up on it. I'll say that. On the face of it, he seems like quite a serious individual, though, doesn't he? Like, he's not some sort of, he's not like some sort of joke. Like Lawrence Fox. There's a bit of gravitas there. Okay. Amazing Disgrace 911 says, government is the gang. Yeah. Well, yeah. Cabal of gangsters, yeah. Nimrod5DS says, thanks for the show, Bo. Would someone be able to help me out with my LE sub, as I have not heard anything via the website form. Viva la Restore. Okay, yeah, well, what I can do. Harry.
Yes.
Make a note of that. Take a screenshot and get it over to Pete or whoever.
Okay.
To sort that out for you. There you go. Magic. Done. Done. We'll try and get someone to email you back as soon as possible. As I say, if you're still watching this, click the like button, sub to the channel, get the bell on, all that good stuff. It does help us. All right, there's more have come in, so there's still a fair few. Let's get through them a bit. Amazing Disgrace 911 again says, organised crime went legit. They got into politics, yeah. Or banking, yeah. MQSSS says, a back posture is perfect. At least Bo doesn't have any orthopedic problems when reporting. Oh, thank you. My posture's all right. It's not perfect, actually. I've got a slight, what's it called? Anterior pelvic, nearly everyone has. Everyone that sits in a chair, works in an office for years. I can't remember what, anterior pelvic something or other. Yeah, my posture's reasonably good, but it's not perfect. Sometimes I do suffer from a slightly painful lower back. Probably just because I'm getting old. But thank you, though. I think my posture's good. That's nice. Calm 65, based Welshman I met the other day up in Macclesfield. How are you, sir? You say, yes, it's come down to £1.60 odd, but was £1.40-ish pre-war. Aim high, vote low, millions must go. Nice. Yeah, aim high, vote low, millions must go from Zoomers to Beamers. So it's come down, but still not as low as it was pre-war. But our poll, we did say, have you noticed a reduction at all? Charles saying it has come down. Another bit of evidence from the real world. Okay, thank you, sir. Next one, Thomas Glover, 92, says, isn't it funny that Americans say all dates, month, year, except 4th of July? Oh, yeah, I've never noticed that. Good point. Yeah. That's one of the things that Brits and Americans disagree on, isn't it? One of those things, the dating. We, correctly, do day, month, year. Obviously, that should be or is the correct form of doing it. For some reason, Americans often do it the other way around. They put the month first, then the day, then the year. Why? Why? Why are you doing that? Anyway, 4th of July, right, yeah, 4th of July. Yeah, I've never noticed that before, good point. All right, Tatum2733 says, what a joke of a state fair for the 250th we're having in DC. Oh, I didn't know exactly what's going on. I was waiting for it to just come up in the news. I haven't kept my eye on that, but you're saying it's a joke. And then you put all in capitals, American Century of Humiliation. Oh, okay. Okay, Tatum. That's a reference to the Chinese said they suffered a century of humiliation, basically like half the 19th century and half of the early 20th century, century of humiliation. You're saying the United States, century of humiliation. Look at the one from 1893. They carved 200 buildings. Oh, okay. So you're just really disappointed with the 250th anniversary celebrations that are going on in DC. I'm afraid I don't know about it in a great deal of detail. That's another thing I don't know about in a great deal of detail as of this morning. I shall look into it. Of course, it will be all over the news, won't it? It's actually on the weekend, isn't it? The 4th. So, but on Monday, no doubt, I would have thought it will be all in the news. And I'll talk all about it then. There you go. Okay. It's a shame. If you're disappointed by it, probably legitimately, you know, I trust your judgment. That's a shame then, isn't it? If it is underwhelming or just lame, if it is, that will be a shame. All right. Amazing Disgrace again says, BBQ and fireworks will distract America from any world tragedies on the 4th of July. Stay safe, friends. Good bit of advice to stay safe. Yeah, probably will be. If the powers that be wanted to sink a story, do it on the 4th of July or the day after even. Because the news cycle will be dominated by that, won't it? That's what I feel like. Maybe this Mandelson thing about being a spy for the Russians for 35 years, that came out the day after an England win in the World Cup. when they would have known that the news cycle would just be completely dominated by that. Am I being too cynical? Probably not. Tatum again says, "You would love," in capital letters, "you would love the Total War games, Rome, Napoleon." I played a little bit of Total War Rome 2, but only a little bit. And it did look really good. There's loads of games that I would love to play. If I had endless money, didn't need to work, didn't have any obligations, I would be a gamer. I was when I was younger. Like, what's that? You remember Cyberpunk? Cyberpunk. That was one of those games when it came out, when they got rid of all the glitches, and apparently it worked well. That was one of those games where I was like, I just wish I had a brilliant PC, a giant screen, and endless time. But I just haven't. Yeah, Rome Total War. Would have loved to have got into it. Life gets in the way, I'm afraid. Yeah, I've heard only good things about the Total War series. Okay. Max Robe says, "As you get older, you have to accept you need to get some cheap reading glasses. They don't hurt or anything." Yeah, fair point. I mean, my vision, I've always had really, really sharp vision. I know it was slightly sharper than 20/20 when I was young. And now it's only just not as good as it once was. Only just. But yeah, I should have to come to terms with it at one point. At some point. It's still pretty good. It would only be just off of 20/20, I would have thought. For sort of 95% of the time or more, it's absolutely fine. It's just sometimes on the screen. It actually is really small. The screens are quite a long way from me in real life, in actual reality, real life. They're quite a long way away. Well, a few meters away on the other side of a room. Not a tiny room. And the writing just is quite small. But the monocle would be funny. Would be funny. Okay. But yeah, I shall have to come to terms at some point needing glasses. Right. If you can come to terms with being bald, I think you can come to terms with wearing glasses. Okay, Tatum again. "Leo acts like the Pope in Camp of the Saints." I still haven't read Camp of the Saints. I need to. You're talking about the current Pope. Is that is his name, isn't it? Okay. Emily for Restore says, "Most charities today are communist rackets and a crying face." Yeah, often. They sort of are, aren't they? Traitorous communist rackets. You're not wrong. Erwin Romulus again says, "Monocles are plenty on your Twitter, old boy." Do you know what? Until today, I'd never seriously considered getting it. It's just, oh, that's just a funny thing the internet says. That's just one more funny thing surrounding the lore of Lotus Eaters or Breakfast with Bo or whatever. But it's not a completely ridiculous idea. It would certainly be funny. It's quite an affectation, though. What next? A cravat? A top hat? I mean, a bow tie? I'm not wearing a bow tie. I'm not wearing a top hat. I'm not doing cravats. And I always thought the monocle would be the same thing. I'm not doing that. That's a silly thing. Of course I'm not doing that. But maybe, just maybe. I might actually need, it might be good to actually, probably would be good to. Okay. If my eyesight degenerates to the point where I'm really struggling every day, nearly all the time, then yeah, why not? All right. And the last one today is from Amazing Disgrace. "Say 4th of July any way you want. We don't really care." All right. Fair enough. Yeah. You ever read this book, Born on the 4th of July, all about Vietnam, or seen the film? There was a Tom Cruise film, wasn't it? Born on the 4th of July. Harrowing. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with the actual 250th anniversary. All right, that's the show. It's now 39 minutes past nine. You've got 40 minutes extra. It's supposed to be a 1 hour show. Don't say I'm not generous. I'm a river to my people. 39 minutes past nine in the AM British summertime on Thursday, the 2nd of July in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. Genuinely, really. It's easy to say. Oh, thanks. But no, thank you. Thank you. Without you guys, it's not a thing. I appreciate it. It's for you guys. That you turn up to watch it is heartwarming. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Carpe diem. Seize the day. You'll only have it once. Once it's gone, it's gone. You only have this day in history once. You've got a finite number of days on this earth. If you can, if you're in a position to do something valuable with your time today, do. All right then, without being too preachy about it. Until tomorrow morning, take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.